This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا واذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ كنتم أعداء فألف بين قلوبكم فأصبحتم بنعمته إخوانا وكنتم على شفا حفرة من النار فأنقذكم منها كذلك يبين الله آياته لعلكم تهتدون ولتكن منكم أمة يدعون إلى الخير ويأمرون بالمعروف وينهون عن المنكر وأولئك هم المفلحون ولا تكونوا كالذين تفرقوا واختلفوا من بعد ما جاءهم البينات وأولئك لهم عذاب عظيم.
إن الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن ولا وبعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الحدي حدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. أيها الإخوة الكرام وأخوات السيدات، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today, thank you very much, Sheikh, about the issue of identity. And I understood when I was riding here, I saw the signs that and your logo. You're striving in the cause of Allah. And this is a very good theme. But I'm sure that in a esteemed, progressive organization, you have had many people talk about your theme, didn't you? I'm not talking about that today. What I'm talking about fits inside the theme, but I don't let people set the theme for me. I talk about what I'm qualified to talk about. I'm talking about what is passionate to me, and I'm talking about what is necessary to heal the body. Because I'm sure that the people of this organization, Sheikh Mufadil and other esteemed people, they have, over the years, they have saturated you with the theme about identity. And if the Muslims understood this issue of identity, you would not have the situation which your president is faced with. Your president, His Excellency, Mr. Buhari, I wish and I pray that there is some way that me as a traveler, as a Muslim revert, I wish I had the opportunity to serve his mission. Because I see him as the Lone Ranger. A man who has a vision to clean this country, but around him are those who wish he would get sick and die. And if the young men and women in this country, if they cannot rally to his vision, your country will be next in line. You see what has happened in Syria. You see what has happened in Iraq. You see what is happening in Yemen. You see what's going to happen in Lebanon. You see what's happening in Egypt. You saw what has happened everywhere. This is because of the dogs of the religion. You know, religion has dogs around it all the time. And this religion, Islam, has its own set of dogs. And those dogs, they are eating the wealth of the nation. And as I said in a talk yesterday, you know, Africa, under colonialists, the colonialist devils, under the colonialists, the mother of Africa was raped by the Europeans. But after 1962, our mother was raped by her own children. Did you understand that point? And our mother, Africa, is still being raped by her own children. And Mr. Buhari, may Allah bless him. And we Muslims in America, he's one of our heroes. It has nothing to do with your political parties. This is some foolishness. He just happens to be in a political party. But even his party is not worthy of him. As I see it, it's my own subjective opinion. And I would not be talking this way if your constitution was not very close to our constitution. Because as I understand it, in America, the most filthy people can talk and get positions. Like Trump. You know, democracy as a political hypocrisy allows anybody to come from the toilet to the White House. And because Nigeria is built upon the same type of template from the Europeans in Britain, from their same conspiracy, so we have the same kind of constitution, which provides us with some constitutional privileges that other people do not have. And you Nigerians, you should understand this point. And you should not be very negligent in this constitutional privilege which you have. You can talk about anything. Nigerians can go on the radio and contradict the president. They can go disrespect the governors. They can say anything because your constitution allows you to do that. You should not be irresponsible with that privilege. And me, I'm not irresponsible. I don't curse the president of the United States. He's already cursed by Allah. He's the president. So from a constitutional point of view, I must be respectful to the Constitution, even though he doesn't deserve to be where he is. I don't know what happened to my country. They allow a person of that caliber to be in the White House. I'm more afraid for my country than I am for you. But at least the son of an African slave, meaning the distant son of an African slave. You know, those Europeans, when they stole the Africans from this country and put them around in different places, and my forefathers, they wound up in America, they had no idea that somewhere around the 1950s, that somehow Islam would come to America. And somehow a man, his name was Al-Hajj Malik Shabazz, somehow he was born in the same circumstances I was born, in the same place I was born, and that he would somehow wind up in Mecca. And he in Mecca would become a Muslim. And within 3 months' time after coming from Hajj, just 3 months, he put a seed in the ground of America. And me, I'm one of the products of that seed. So 3 months, not 3 years. He was only a Muslim for 3 months. He did not study tafsir. He didn't study aqidah. He didn't study balagha. He didn't study mustalahat. He didn't study the sunnah. He didn't study the hadith. None of that. The only thing he knew was, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. That's all he knew. Wallahi, I don't believe. I met with his sister, his daughter. We made hajj together. And I asked her, you were only about 3 years old when your father was assassinated. But from your mother, did you know whether your father ever memorized the Fatiha? You know what she told me? She said, Sheikh, to be very honest, I don't think my father had the time to memorize more than what he said in Mecca. That was what? La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. So a man who perhaps only knew La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, he planted a seed in America. From now there's 2.8 million Muslims. So you don't have to say much to do much. And I'm suggesting to the Muslims here in Nigeria, you need to stop so much bureaucratical talking. Me, I understand it. I understand the niyyah. I understand the whole procedure. I understand how we love the Quran. I understand how much we love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I understand how we love the manhaj of Islam. I understand that. But to climb a mountain, you only need the right equipment. You don't need a lot of talking. And we have a mountain to climb. And as I'm driving here, these roads should be prepared by us. Don't blame the government that the roads inside is no good. They stole the money, and that's why you cannot fix your roads. Today, there is $1.2 trillion of Nigerian money in European banks from the people who stole from our mother, the people who raped our mother. $1.2 trillion of Nigerian money is in European banks. What about the rest of Africa? We should be talking about, you know, our father or our country. One of my heroes, Mr. Buhari, he is doing his best to get that money back for you. But somebody will probably poison him or assassinate him before he gets that. May Allah protect him. Amen. When I listen to him, I'd never hear him reciting a lot of Quran. Although I understand and I know he's a very good Muslim. He's a well-trained Muslim. The fact he's a politician is only because that is the only way he can arrive in a position to drive the car. And you know and I know that for the last 25 years, everybody around him did not want him to drive this car. No one. So, me, I don't know. You know, as time has its own clock, there may not be the opportunity for me to say these things in Nigeria again. Because the conspirators, every time they see some light moving coming, they want to put it out. لِيُطْفِئُ نُورُ اللَّهِ Huh? Yeah, بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ. See, every time some light start to come, the devils, they start to talk and plan and conspire. They want to put that light out. But they ain't going to put all the lights out. They cannot. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yutimmu nurihi. Walau karihal kafirun wal mushrikun wal munafikun. So, me, I'm on my own trajectory by the permission of Allah. And I don't like much to be said about my trajectory. Because sometimes when we talk too much about a person's background, we are giving the enemies of Islam too much warning. Sometimes if you want to catch a pigeon, you know pigeon? The pigeon. You want to catch the pigeon? Don't run up to him. He would fly. Just throw some food out there. And come very soft. They will come. If we want to do something for our children, we need to plan very well. And we need to be very quiet. I know Nigerians, it's very difficult for you to be quiet. Because it is the nature of the Nigerian to talk very strong. I cannot change that because me, I'm part of you. But we need to learn how to close the doors and spend one day planning and 1 hour talking. Right now, it's the opposite. They plan 1 hour and they talk all day. The other thing, Muslim men, you need to wake up. I didn't get to my talk yet, so if anybody have a problem, I will get, it's only 2 pages. So this is my preamble. You don't mind, Sheikh? The Muslim men, you need to wake up and smell the coffee. Time has changed. If you want 4 wives, Allah, he give you that permission. You can do it. But today, most of the women whom you want to marry, they have as much knowledge about their rights as you do. You'll not be able to do it easily. Our women have a sense of empowerment which you did not even give to them. وَمَا يَعْنَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّهُ. You know, when Allah, He wants to, يُعِزُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. When Allah, He wants to create some empowerment, He does it in regardless of His servants. And the internet, you know, if you want to keep a woman under your control and you don't deserve that, and you don't even have the power to do that, just keep her away from the TV, keep her away from the internet, don't let her use the phone, keep her in the dark, keep her in the bush, and keep her barefooted and pregnant. Then you have a chance to keep some power over her. But if she has TV, if she has phone, if she has shoes, and she can walk the same road that you go to, you cannot today have any power like that. Because now Allah, the most ignorant people today, they understand, they have access to understand the world. The most ignorant people. And you know, you see, subhanAllah, there's a woman from our country. A woman from our country. Her name is everybody's watching her on TV. What's her name? She's the Oprah. You know her. Oprah. She has more influence in the world than the Queen of England. There is no other woman in the world today who have more influence over other women. Maybe the influence is a bad one, but still she have influence. This because Allah, He did that. And secondly, it doesn't matter what anybody will say. Mr. Obama and his wife, Michelle, they brought more dignity to the White House than it ever had in the history. A black man and his wife brought more dignity to the White House than it ever had in history. So this is what can happen when Allah, He put an African in a position. Now, unfortunately, Mr. Obama said he's not a Muslim. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened in his life. I don't know what happened in his house. And I don't know even why, because his name was not Barack Obama when he was born. Somewhere along the line, he chose that name. But his father was a Muslim. His stepfather was a Muslim. And he was raised in Kenya. And he went to the madrasa wherever he was living. And he learned the Quran. So I don't know what happened. But that's his problem, it's not mine. But what I do know is that the ibrah Allah he did in this century for us is to show that an African can be the head of state and could be the most powerful person in the world, and he could be there with dignity. And he did. 8 years. No scandal. No scandal. And his wife was more educated than him. You know, if he ever divorced Michelle, I will try to marry her. If she wear the hijab, you know, if she takes shahada and wear the hijab. If Oprah, if I ever get the chance to give her da'wah, this be the next one. If she will take the shahada and put on the hijab. And even if it's only some kind of dream, what I would want that for? Only because that the influence which they have would now become a part of Islam. Nothing else. Nothing else. Because in Surah An-Naml or Surah An-Nahl, you know the surah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused Sulaiman alayhi salam to learn about Bilqis, Malika Saba, Surah An-Nahl, Surah An-Naml, yes. And by the way, if anybody wants to know why one of the surahs of the Quran do not have Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, you know, one surah have no Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Because that Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, this tasmiyah is in Surah An-Naml. Is it correct?
Yes.
So there is 114 tasmiyat in the Quran, huh? So this one that he said when he wrote the letter to Bilqis and he told her, come to me in the name of Allah, who is the beneficent, the merciful. So this shows that it's sometimes it's very important that the man who has power, that he select the right woman. Or that the right woman select him, in the case of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So our women today have a very unique, ironic position. And we men, we should learn to become secure in our thinking. Because as long as you are insecure, you're going to mistreat your wives. As long as you are insecure, you will never allow them to rise to their potential. Because you will be afraid of them shining more than you. You don't want them to talk because they can talk better than you. You want to push down their aspirations because you don't have aspirations. You are afraid of them having money and power and influence. You are afraid because you yourself cannot contain it. But if we men are secure, if we are progressive, secure, if we have a plan, and we want to have wealth to give to them, then we will facilitate their aspirations, because today is the age of the woman and the child. This is not the age of the men today. We still الرجال قوامون على النساء. You know the ayah still is like it is. الرجال قوامون على النساء. But what the word is رجال? The word رجال don't mean male. It don't mean male. الرجال means men. Empowered, endowed, capable, responsible, accountable men. الرجال قوامون على النساء. But today, it almost reverse. An-nisa kawamunna ala rijal. No, we don't reverse the ayah, but I'm just saying what have happened. Now, to be honest, we need to sit down with our wives and our daughters and to be very honest, and we need to be grateful for them and have good conversations to balance out the family. Because when men are honest with their women, then the family dynamics will change. And when the family dynamics change, the community dynamics will change. When the community dynamics change, then the social dynamics will change. And Allah, He don't change the condition of people until they what? Their hearts means their thinking and their feeling. So let our honesty start at home. Let us begin to have genuine conversations with our daughters and our wives, so they become our friends more so than wife. And why I talk about Queen Amina, because more than anything else, she's Hafizah of the Quran. Alhamdulillah. And her sister who lived with us is Hafizah of the Quran. But more than that, she's my friend. And when your wife is your friend, you even can differ about issues. You can argue about issues, but you will never harm your friend. So inside your family, look for friendship. With your children, look for friendship. Because when friendship is present inside the house, the honor is there. The loyalty is there. Problems are there, but you know, if I have an argument with my friend even 5 years ago, when I see my friend again, how I feel? I forgive them, right? But when there's no friendship, you always remember the ghillah. You carry the ghillah all the time. So we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to heal our situations inside of our families. Because if there is bad relationship and bad chemistry between the male and the female, it passes right down to the children. And this is another issue I'm coming to. We have children who are angry. The young man who recited the Quran here, his Quran is beautiful. But what I'm concerned about, where he will be 10 years from now. Because when the reality of life comes to him as a man, I wish I had a whiteboard here, I can tell you what I'm saying. When the reality comes to him as a man, I want you to, if you can right now, before I go into this issue of social responsibility, my topic is social responsibility, which has to do with identity. I want you to just, if you can, close your eyes and imagine, you know, going down a tunnel or going down a road, going down a tunnel, going down a road. If you are you have phones, I would prefer you not to film. And the reason, it's technical, it's professional, and it's ethical. So please trust me, as my sons, that it is not a good thing to do. Imagine going down a road, and you come to a T-junction. You know what that is, right? T-junction. You can only go what? Left or right. So as a social scientist, I figured it out. I figured it out for me. I figured it out for my children. I figured it out for my grandchildren. And I figured it out for when I talk to young people. I already know what's going to happen. They're going down this T-junction. They're going down this road. Headed for what? The T-junction. And by default, they have to go what? Left or right. Well, as they headed down this road, which the parents gave them, maybe they are equipped with Quran, maybe not. Maybe they have academic education, maybe not. But for sure, they are angry. They are frustrated. They are confused. Because that's the nature of a dysfunctional society. What are the three things they are? They are angry, even if they don't show it. They are angry. They are what? They are confused. And they are what? They're frustrated. And if they wind up going to some Islamic school in Medina or in Riyadh or in Mecca or in India or in Sokoto or wherever they're going somewhere to memorize more Quran, Hadith, Arabic language, and all this is good. You know, it's all good. No one can argue about that. It is good. But the problem is, you know, supplements are only taken because you're not eating the right food, right? Is it correct? So if you're eating the right food, you already have a balanced diet. Then you don't need supplements. Okay. But if you're eating a diet which itself is too much protein, too much starch, too much sugar, you see, you're eating a diet too much, then at the end you become either it starts to show up in your demeanor. That's right. So our children, what we see happening, and I will use Nigeria as an example because we are here. Boko Haram is what was a natural outcome, because cancer inside the body is going to manifest itself somewhere. It's right or wrong? And some enemies of Islam will help to facilitate that cancer. And Boko Haram came about as a result of a cancer inside the body. And some outside facilitators and conspirators, they facilitated it. And some of the people raping the mother, Christians and Muslims, they also facilitated it. Because as long as somebody has to fight that cancer, they don't pay attention to people who are stealing. You understand me? So some of our children, they came to that T-junction and they went left. They were already what? They were already what? Confused. So when they hit that T-junction, they were not educated. Because the ones that's educated, they don't go to the left. The ones that come from good families, strong families, stable families, educated families, well-endowed Muslim families, they don't go to the left. We'll talk about those that go to the right after this. Because they're already angry and frustrated, they go to the left. And they wind up, these young boys you see out here in the street at nighttime, robbing, stealing, doing all kind of crazy stuff, kidnapping people and all of that there. We're not just talking about Muslims now, we're talking about what? Nigerians, right? They hit the junction and they went where? Left. At the far end of the junction, they wind up Boko Haram or some other haram. Those are the ones that were radicalized to an extreme. But what about those that never got to that part? They're the ones who's robbing people. And you know something, subhanAllah, I notice here in Nigeria that even the most wealthy people are still inside the prison. Every house in Nigeria has barbed wire, has bars on the windows. This is how you can tell something about a society. This is a school. A school. And a community compound. But you have bars on all the windows. Barbed wire on all the walls. And every door must have its own gates and locks. And somebody must be outside to watch and look just for you to get inside the compound. Then inside the house, somebody else looking. That means everybody in Nigeria is inside of a prison. See, because the mother has been traumatized from the raping and the robbing. And so the psychology of the mother has come down into all the children. And so everybody, the rich and the poor, is all what? Traumatized. So let's continue my discussion. So this Boko Haram was facilitated by people from the outside. Wallahi, if anybody will track it, they're not even Muslims. When they are captured, they don't even know how to pray. They don't recite the Quran. They're just criminals using the name of Islam. Qaeda, same. Taliban, same. ISIS, same. It came from the same, what, three things? So that's the far end of the spectrum. That's the left. Now let's go to the right. Going to the right is young men who just recited the Quran here. He will go to the right, for sure. No, for sure. He's already that way. Most of the educated Nigerians, whether they are Christians or Muslims, they're going to go where? They're going to go to the right. But as they go to the right, they are also internally what? So they're going to take out their anger and their frustration in different way. They will become, first, they will become compromised by their own individual ambition. They will want to go to school for what? To serve the country or to serve themselves? And their parents want them to go graduate. Why? To do something for the country or to do something for the family? Is right? So first they will become indulgent. They will become selfish. Then they will become individualistic. And that at the further end of the extreme, they will join others to have as much as they can. You see what I'm saying? So here you got two different extremes. Both of them do not serve the interests of their country. So how do we change that? The way you have to change it, you must open up that junction so they have a way to pass through. We need to open up this funnel so that our young people who are already angry, confused, frustrated because of the trauma that they have witnessed with their mothers. We don't mean their physical mother, we mean Africa. It's okay, brothers. Just whoever will come, this is my suggestion. My suggestion is, whoever comes late, regardless of what the reason is, they have to stand. That's just the rule. Whoever comes early is the ones get the seat. Those who come late, they have to stand. And may Allah reward them for their standing. They will only be standing maybe 30 minutes, 45 minutes on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Maybe we're standing for a few years. So let us continue without any distraction. Because this is what? This is operation. So we need to create a funnel to go through. And we is described in the Quran as the middle path. So they can continue their ambition, their training in a more matured state of mind, but under some discipline and under some control, because we ourselves created the opening. You know, there's an ayah of the Quran, Allah says, وَمَنْ يَتَقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُ. See, so we need to make this makhraj for them and for us. And this makhraj, it is called social responsibility. Without social responsibility, we cannot ourselves create the makhraj. Or we cannot ourselves take advantage. We can't even see it. Because if there's a mountain and we need to go on the other side of that mountain, either we got to drive 150 miles all the way around the mountain, or we need to do what? We need to make a tunnel through that mountain. Is that correct? Saves time and energy. Huh? And resources. Is correct? So what I'm talking about here today is digging a tunnel through this mountain of trauma. Now, this discussion I'm having with you today is the result of my trajectory. I spent a year in Medina Munawwara. I thank Allah for that. I got some chance to pray, you know, and to live, you know, in Medina Munawwara. I got a chance, but I don't finish nothing. Because I was also at that time what? Angry, frustrated, and confused. And every day, me, I'm fighting with the police. I'm not allowing no Saudi policemen to grab on me like he do Africans. You know, the Saudis, they have some mentality about Africans. The Arabs, they have some mentality about Africans. It comes through a historical set of dynamics that they see themselves to be superior, and they see Africans to be abid. And me, as an African-American, they saw me black, but once they look in my eyes, they realize I wasn't the same kind of African. And this is what you need to understand now. Allah is bringing two oceans together. Because when we look at the white man, when we deal with the Arabs, we see them eyeball to eyeball. Time has changed. There's a young man, I was talking to the driver, Brother Sheikh Abdul Razak. There's a young man, a young African. His name is Akon. All the young boys know him. How many here know Akon? Yeah, you know Akon. I know him too. All my kids know him. And this is why for me, I'm a sheikh, I'm an old man, but when I'm with the young kids, I'm with them completely. I'm not going to get into what I mean by that, because that's not your business. But what I want to tell you is that between me and my grandchildren, there's no gaps. We all friends. I'm walking with them, talking with them, dealing with them. I'm understanding their whole set of dynamics. I'm kicking it with them. You know, they call me OG. Because I'm not pretending to be pious. I'm not bringing them some culture from the Arabs or the Africans or the Asians. I'm keeping it real. You know what the kids say. You know what they say, right? Keep it real. So having said that, this young man, Akon, he came from Africa, came to America to be a rapper, a bling bling monkey. That's what I call him, a bling bling monkey. But now Jay-Z is one of the top bling bling monkeys in the world, because between him and his wife, they almost got $750 million, but they still bling bling. But see what Allah did for this young man, Akon. He's a Muslim. And he went to America and became wealthy. And he also went to America and he realized America is a land where dreams come true. And he decided he wanted to come back to his country and do something for his country. Or his, not even his country, he wanted to come back and do something for Africa. And what he did, I just read it in the news yesterday. He just struck a $10 billion deal with the Chinese. Can you imagine that? To build 80 million, to give 80 million Africans electricity. Can you believe that? Your whole government cannot keep the lights on. Although you have the largest population in Africa, your GDP is larger than any other country in Africa. But because of the stealing and the corruption, which your president is trying to correct, you can't even keep the lights on. But Allah sent an African boy to America, and he came back and put together a plan and went, got the Japanese involved, I mean the Chinese, because Chinese always want to be involved if they can do further exploitation. Not exploration, but exploitation. So, that's a different story. So, guess what? Suppose there was 100 young Africans who had the same ambition as this young boy. What would happen? Well, we've got 1,000 young Africans who have that potential right now. And this program that we are trying to develop in 2018, by 2020, we want to inspire, we want to motivate, and we want to harness 1,000 young Africans, male or female, to do what this young boy Akon just did. Now, I'm not concerned about how much Quran they have. I'll let Sheikh Mufadila, I'll let him and the other shuyukh take care of that part. I'm not concerned even so much about their graduate studies, because there are enough universities in the world that can take care of that. But what I'm concerned about is the mindset, the discipline that creates the mindset. Because if we are able to give our children, male and female, the mindset of empowerment, and we give that to 1,000 of them, then guess what? Those 1,000 young people, they themselves will influence another 1,000, and those 2,000 will influence another 2,000, and maybe by the year 2030, Africa will be a different continent. And the keys that the Europeans stole from us and hid in the ground, even after they left back to their countries, they stole the keys. So if you don't find, you don't have the keys to your own house, so what you can do? Then after the Europeans stole the keys, the Europeans shared the keys with Japanese, Koreans, and Chinese. So now all the railroads, all the ship ports, all the big projects is being fostered by who? Chinese. And all the phones, everybody here got a phone or two? Chinese. So between the keys that they stole and hid from us, and then shared with others, the exploitation continues. What I want to do, I want to set up a movement. I want to set a spark, a movement to get our keys back. Because once we got our keys back, we can change the locks. And then all the exploiters, when they come to try to put their keys inside, guess what? It don't work. We can tell them it's a new day. And 30% of the natural resources of the world is inside the ground of our mother. And as much as they have raped us, exploited us, and whatever they have done, Africa has more to give. We don't need to worry about even the money that's in the banks. We don't need to even worry about who stole this and who stole that. Africa has enough resources to give more and more. This is the way Allah, He did that. وَيَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. So we need to be on a trajectory to take advantage of this makhraj so that we can build a mindset of social responsibility. So now my preamble is over. Can I do my lecture now? It's okay? Good. So social responsibility is the disciplined and ethical principles which every citizen and every individual within a given society should cultivate in order to build and guarantee constitutional privilege for everyone. The duty that every citizen has towards their government and society. So I'm going to give just a few verses of the Quran, a couple of ahadith from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so we understand that we on the same page. There's no dichotomy between the definition and what Islam says. So first, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, and we hear this every Jum'ah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ يَعِظُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. Huh, we hear this, right? You know the ayah? Which surah it comes in? Surah Nahl. See? Surah Nahl. We need to review the ayah. Because in the ritualistic mindset, when you hear the ayah, you start standing up because that means the imam is getting ready, the khatib, he getting ready to pray. Right? So you've already been programmed that when you hear the ayah, not to even think, thinking about the meaning. You've been programmed already that when you hear the ayah, it's time to pray. Although the Prophet ﷺ said, and the companions, they said, we never stood for the prayer until the muaddin said, قَدْ قَامَتِ الصَّلَاةِ. The companions, what they say? We never stood for the prayer until we heard the muaddin say what? قَدْ قَامَتِ الصَّلَاةِ. That's the order. قَدْ قَامَتِ الصَّلَاةِ. That's the order. But we got this mindset that we got from other people. You know, that when the imam says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ, everybody starts standing. That means you're not listening. And Allah says, when you hear the Quran, do what? You must listen. Keep quiet. Don't move. Now reflect on the ayah. Verily Allah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ, definitely Allah, يَعْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ, Allah has commanded you upon justice. What kind of justice? Social justice. Wal ihsan. What is ihsan? Benevolence. Benevolence comes from wealthy people. Benevolence comes from people who are endowed and wealthy, and they give for the sake of Allah to improve the society. So Allah commanded us upon two things, right? What? What's the two things? Justice. You cannot be just if you ain't got no power. You cannot be benevolent if you don't have no money. So here the ayah is already being directed to people who already have what? Power and money. Then another ayah, Allah says, Wa ahsinu. Here the ayah, here the word comes again. Wa ahsinu. Inna Allaha yuhibbul muhsinin. Here the word comes again. So be benevolent. Verily Allah loves those who are benevolent. When he's talking to the Anbiya, they have a little different meaning. Because the Anbiya, they was already built. They already had built-in benevolence. They had built-in independence. They had built-in character, right? So for them, when Allah called them muhsineen, it means that they was already programmed with that through the wahi. But for us who's not programmed with the wahi, Allah is telling us to do what? Wa ahsinu inna Allah yuhibbul muhsineen. Then Allah says in the Quran another verse, very important verse. وَبْتَغِي فِي مَا أتاك الله دار الآخرة ولا تنسى نصيبك في الدنيا وأحسن كما أحسن الله إليك. لا إله إلا الله. The Quran is telling us this, but we're not listening. أفلا يتدبرون القرآن وابتغي فيما أتاك الله الدار الآخرة. So Allah is telling us, yes, take the path of preserving the rituals, preserving the azkar, the Quran, the sunnah, you know, the things that's going to take you to the akhirah to build your character. Wala tansa nasibuka. But do not forget, this is an order. Allah is reminding you, on the way to getting the religion, do not forget your portion of the dunya. And what portion is that? What is that portion? That is your social responsibility. So now we are looking at the Quran with a different eye. And if it takes a revert to Islam to look at the Quran with a different eye, then let us look at the Quran today. Do not forget. Because what are we talking about? Keep it in mind, we're talking about building the makhraj, right? Taking that path, opening up that T-junction to go through so that our children don't have to go to the left or to the right. See, Allah says, وَلْتَكُنْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ. So you Muslims, you have been, what? You are the people calling to the khayr. What is the khayr? The khayr already have been said before. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْمَلُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ. This is the khayr. Then after the ayah says, يَعْمَرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ لِلْمُنْكَرِ. So here the principle is what? Build, before you build the highway, you must build what? The side roads. To keep them on the road. You don't let the cars on the highway before you put up the what? The barriers. This is يَعْمَرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ لِلْمُنْكَرِ. That means that if you're not able to set up the means by which to punish people who do wrong and to stop people from doing the wrong and to cause goodness to flow into society with some kind of discipline, then the society becomes wild and unmanageable. Let's go to another ayah. Kuntum khayra. See the verse? What's the word? Kuntum what? Khayra. What's the khayra? Go back to the other ayats. Go back to the other ayats where the word khayr was already used. Okay, where the word yarsim inna Allah ya'mal bil'adl wal ihsan, where it was already used. So now you know the word khayr, what it means. So kuntum khayra. Now he's naming us. Ummatun. This means the whole group of Muslims, right? Ukhrijat. What this means? Ukhrijat. You know, it comes from the verb kharaja. Yukhariju ukhrijat. Is correct, Sheikh? Ukhrijat means it has happened. Ukhrijat, it has happened. Kuntum khayra. Ummatan. Ukhrijat. You have already been formed. You've already been taken from the bottom to the top as an ummah presenting the khayr for the whole world. And how are you going to do it? Ta'maruna bil ma'roof. Wa tanhauna adal munkar. Wa tu'minuna billah. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily I have been sent to perfect good, what? So that means the Quran, the Adhkar, the Hadith, the Sunnah, the Fiqh, the Aqidah, all of these things is really to do what? To build what? Good character. Good character. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, he says, Ittaqillah, haythu ma kunt. وَاتْبِعَ سَيِّئَ بِالْحَسَنَى تَمْهُوهَا وَخَالِقِ النَّاسِ بِخُلِقٍ حَسَنٍ. Okay, we don't need to go no more Quran and Sunnah now. We got enough, right? You know, I gave you a whole bunch of medicine. So the doctor write a bunch of prescription for you. Now go home and take them, right? So now let's talk about how you need to take this medicine. The points regarding social responsibility. Because I gave you those ayats of Quran and those few ahadith to as an evidence, because you know Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu an, you know Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu an, he said, khayrul kalam ma qalla wa dalla, la ilaha illallah. That means you don't have to say much to do much. Number one, the first point regarding social responsibility, of course it is important to build a consistent, disciplined practice of Islamic rituals. Buni al-Islam ala khamsin. However, it is equally important to develop the skills and the resources that lead to social and personal empowerment. Now that's the core statement of my talk today. And if you don't get that part, the rest of it doesn't matter. So I'm going to read it again. Of course, it is important to build a consistent and disciplined practice of the Islamic rituals. However, it is equally important to develop the skills and the resources that lead to social and personal empowerment. Everybody got that part? Through personal and social empowerment, Muslims, you and I, can gain tremendous social leverage. Because the people in the society today that have the greatest social leverage is Apple and Samsung. What if I say to you, I got some free phones outside for everybody. Right away, what phones you hoping I got? iPhone, Samsung, right? Because we've been programmed that way. And it's not just us. It is not just us. Today, Assalamu alaikum, Shaykhna. Today, Europeans, educated Europeans, are sleeping in the streets of Denmark, sleeping in the streets of Switzerland, sleeping in the streets of London, waiting for iPhone office to open up so they can get the new iPhone 8. They're sleeping in the streets right now. Only because iPhone and Samsung put it in people's minds that if you have our phone, even if you don't have no data, even if you can't make no phone call, you still got status. So what are people buying? Status. I just came from Liberia. And I noticed that all the Liberians, it's a very poor country. If anybody has raped a country, go to Liberia and see. Pathetic, but Africa is coming back. Young kids in Liberia, they don't have a bicycle. Some of them don't even have shoes. But they got an iPhone. They got a Samsung Edge. They living in shacks. They love Islam. All of them has got their phones. They want to check. Can I get it for check? So, wait a minute, hold it. Wait a minute. How you guys buy an $800 phone? Where you get the money? But everybody got the phone. Most of them, they don't have no data. And most of them cannot make any phone call. Just they're using it for status and taking pictures. That's it. So, Apple and Samsung have programmed the minds of the people so that the people, they don't care if they don't have food, if they don't have a house, if they're sleeping in the dark, they want to make sure their phone is. And everybody put the phone right there. So, Akhi, look inside my bag right there. Get my other phone. I want to digress just for a moment, just to let you know that Akon is not by himself. And I'm not just like some guy talking. I went to China myself. And some people were saying, I was giving a talk like this, and I'm saying, why we don't have our own phone? What's wrong with us? Why we don't have our own phone? Well, we're not smart enough to have our own phone? And the people start saying, come on, Sheikh. Sheikh, you a Sheikh. You know that what that means. You a religious guy. You need to just stop talking about all that stuff. And even my children, they said to me one day, you know, my grandchild, Jeddy, I heard you talking about your phone or something. How are you going to get a phone? So I went to China. And brothers and sisters, look, on my way here, I broke my phone. But I just bought another phone, which is exactly like the Sky phone. This phone here is an LG. It's exact prototype of the Sky phone. And you can go to the internet. Go to the internet, and you can see the Sky phone. Just go there right now if you want to. It's called Sky Devices. Go there. Sky Devices. That's our phone. Sky. The initials, Sheikh Khaled Yassin. I don't care about the Sheikh Khaled Yassin part. We just call it Sky phone just to have it so people's like, iPhone is my phone. You know what I'm saying? No, it's not the iPhone. It's my phone. It's the Sky phone. So just to tell you, it's just like this here LG. It does everything. I cut it off and on using my finger. You see, I can do like this here, it takes my pulse. I can do like this here and cut it on with my iris. I can also cut it on and off with my voice. I got 312 different applications on here that does everything. If I want the phone to dance and sing, it do that too. So what does this phone do that the iPhone or the Samsung does? What does this phone doesn't do? Well, the phone does some things that the iPhone and the Samsung doesn't do. But guess what? Because you've been programmed, you will pay $800 for the iPhone or for the Samsung when this phone here only costs $229. So, and you don't have to wait for the Sky phone to come. It's okay. It'll be here soon, inshallah. But there's some people in Ogun State. Ogun. That's another state in the south, right? Southwest or something like that. Southwest. A journalist told me yesterday, Sheikh, we're not really south. We kind of like west. I said, okay. But, you know, they call it in the south. They have a company here called Afri One. It's the first African company to bring the parts from China and put the phone together in Africa. Say Allahu Akbar. So, however, the phone that they're putting together is more like the Techno, more like the Alcatel. It's not like the LG, and it's not like the Sky phone. So go to skyphonedevices.com later on, and you will see all the phones that we have, alhamdulillah. So having said that, it is our social responsibility to create personal and social empowerment. Muslims can gain immense leverage, humanitarian capability, and industrial advantage through social and personal empowerment. And this is the most advantageous platform to advance the Islamic ideology. Thank you, Sheikh. It is therefore our social responsibility to develop a sophisticated platform for the Islamic work. One that is attractive, dynamic, and endowed. One that is what? With the technology which the young educated Muslims, they want and they use. Because if your platform does not subscribe to the young people, it's dead. It is extremely important that we balance our rituals with education. And when we say education, we don't mean high school and we don't mean undergraduate. When we say education, we want to tell our children, if you're going to be educated, go all the way. Make your niya to do a PhD. Doesn't mean waiting to get a job, because we're telling them, get a job, do your own business now. So if you do your own business now, your time belongs to you, right? And you can continue to study until you get your what? Until you get your PhD. And in case you're not academically inclined, because all of our children are not, don't worry. Get a technical certificate. Learn technology, engineering, anything you can. Do a business certificate program so that you can be in business for yourselves while you are also doing your part-time education until you get your undergraduate, your graduate, and your postgraduate studies. The two. In addition to that, study your Islam and be serious about it. Get your education, but you must also have a life plan. Now, some of you are sitting here maybe saying to yourself, come on, Sheikh, I got a life plan. What are you talking about? Okay, so we're going to test it. A life plan is something that you researched, you wrote it, you typed it, double spaced it, spell checked it, printed it out, and you brought it to your Sheikh or your mom or your dad or somebody that you respect, and you asked them to look at it. And then after you took it back, you printed it out again. You memorized it for yourself, because whose plan is this? It's your life plan. So now, how many people here have a life plan? You see, this is the situation. Life plan as I defined it. If you don't have a life plan, when you leave out of here today, one of the first things you need to do is you need to develop a life plan. And in case you don't know how to do that, go to skypurpose.com, send me a Gmail, send me an email, say, Sheikh, can you send me a template for the life plan? Boom. Hit the button, it's gone. It's in your desk right there. Now it's up to you to do it. Teaching our children religious principles and sciences to help them to be moral and decent is good and necessary. But that by itself will not give them any advantage in the industrial complex of the world. Did you hear what I said? So, our collective narrative is La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. Our aqidah, our manhaj, our knowledge, our shuyukh, our teachers. You know, all the things, this is our creed. But the other things I'm teaching you here has to do with social stability as opposed to social dysfunction. And also structural responsibility as opposed to personal and social irresponsibility. And economic empowerment means getting hold of money and resources, and that's part of the deen. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's grandfather was what? Abdul Muttalib. He was what? You didn't read the seerah? He was a businessman. His son, Abu Talib, although he never became a Muslim, was what? A businessman. Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, although he was destined to receive the wahi under his uncle, he became a what? Businessman. And while he was doing that business, he wound up working for a lady. Her name was Khadija al-Bint al-Khuwailid, who later became his wife, right? And she was a what? Businesswoman. So, and then Ali, the first male to accept Islam, the free male, was the son of Abu Talib, a businessman. The first man, free man, to accept Islam was who? Abu Bakr. And he was? Businessman. And next after that, Umar, a businessman. Uthman, a businessman. And when he went to Medina, Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, a businessman. The man who gave the Prophet a garden that is now part of Masjid al-Nabawi. His name was Talha. He was also a what? Businessman. So we see business, 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 business. Money, money, money. And if you want the honey, you need to have some money. This is our religion. If you want to pay zakah, you have to have what? If you want to fast, you should have your own money to buy your own dates. If you want to make hajj, you have to have money, money, money. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to pay zakah and to fast and to make hajj, that means He wants us to have money. Because if you don't have no money, you can't do that. If you don't have no money, you can't build no masjid and no schools, right? So money is a part of our religion. We don't have to be like shy to talk about it. We're not no pious beggars. The Prophet said, you know, he said that al-mu'minu qawi khayrun wa habbu ila Allah min al-mu'minu da'if. He said, yadul ula khayrun yadul sufla. All these things show us where we need to be headed. It is our constitutional right and our constitutional privilege that allows us to dissent, to disagree, and to determine what leadership or influence we prefer for ourselves and our families. But guess what? If you don't have any influence in a society, constitutional privilege means nothing. We have no impediment to preach or teach Islam in this country because of constitutional privilege. Churches, synagogues, and temples and masjids are exempt from taxes and government control in order to facilitate them to deliver independent human services, community development, and make community investment. Some religious entities in the USA and here have more power and influence than many countries in the United States. Microsoft, as a company, has more power than 39 countries in the United Nations. Islam, our life system, has prepared us for this social challenge. To build our resilience and insulate ourselves against the moral decay and deviance of the greater society, we must implement and advocate the principles of Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy al Munkar. And that will act as a repellent for us in our social struggle. Allah has promised us many things. And I want you to remember that He says, وَمَنْ يَتَقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُ. We are privileged to be Muslims in this time, in this age, in the society where we are. And in my society where I came from, we are privileged to be Muslims. And we are under a very powerful and exceptional time and set of circumstances. We simply have to make the right assessment and the proper decisions in order for us to reach a position in our society for social responsibility. Thank you very much. May Allah bless all of you. Wa qulu qawli hadha wa astaghfir Allah li wa lakum. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless the Majlis Ashura. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless our MC, Sheikh Mufaddil. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all the people who are supporting this institution. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless the men and bless the women and bless our children and bless your community. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless your president and give him long life and give him the support that he needs. And so that when he's no longer in that position, those 1,000 young people that we are looking to raise up, that they will be there to take a new position. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant wa nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.